Saturday, January the 24th. Today was the most terrible day of my life. My mother has got a job doing her rotten typing in an insurance office. She starts on Monday. Mr. Lucas works at the same place. He's going to give her a lift every day. And my father is in a bad mood. He thinks his big end is going. But worst of all, Bert Baxter is not a nice old age pensioner. He drinks and smokes and has an Alsatian dog called Sabre. Sabre was locked in the kitchen while I was cutting the massive hedge, but he didn't stop growling once. But even worse than that, Pandora is going out with Nigel. I think I will never get over this shock. Sunday, January the 25th, third after Epiphany. 10 a.m. I am ill with all the worry. Too weak to write much. Nobody has noticed I haven't eaten any breakfast. 2 p.m. Had 2 junior aspirins at midday and rallied a bit. Perhaps when I am famous and my diary is discovered, people will understand the torment of being a 13 3/4-year-old undiscovered intellectual. 6 p.m. Pandora, my lost love. Now I will never stroke your treacle hair, although my blue felt tip is still at your disposal. 8 p.m. Pandora, Pandora, Pandora. 10 p.m. Why? Midnight. Had a crab paste sandwich and a satsuma for the good of my skin. Feel a bit better. I hope Nigel falls off his bike and is squashed flat by a lorry. I will never speak to him again. He knew I was in love with Pandora. If I'd had a racing bike for Christmas instead of a lousy digital stereo alarm clock, none of this would have happened. Monday, January the 26th. I had to leave my sick bed to visit Bert Baxter before school. It took me ages to get there, what with feeling weak and having to stop for a rest every now and again. But with the help of an old lady who had a long black moustache, I made it to the front door. Bert Baxter was in bed, but he threw the key down and I let myself in. Sabre was locked in the bathroom. He was growling and sounded as if he was ripping up towels or something. Bert Baxter was lying in a filthy-looking bed smoking a cigarette. There was a horrible smell in the room. I think it came from Bert Baxter himself. The bed sheets looked as though they were covered in blood, but Bert said that was caused by the beetroot sandwiches he always eats last thing at night. It was the most disgusting room I have ever seen, and I'm no stranger to squalor. Bert Baxter gave me 10 pence and asked me to get him the Morning Star from the newsagents, so he is a communist as well as everything else. Sabre usually fetches the paper, but he is being kept in as a punishment for chewing the sink. The man in the newsagents asked me to give Bert Baxter his bill. He owes for his papers £31.97. But when I did, Bert Baxter said, "Smarmy four-eyed git," and laughed and ripped the bill up. I was late for school, so I had to go to the school secretary's office and have my name put in the late book. That's the gratitude I get for being a good Samaritan. I didn't miss maths either. Saw Pandora and Nigel standing close together in the dinner queue, but chose to ignore them. Mr. Lucas has taken to his bed because of being deserted, so my mother is taking care of him when she finishes work. She is the only person he will see. So when will she find time to look after me and my father? My father is sulking. I think he must be jealous because Mr. Lucas doesn't want to see him. Midnight. Good night, Pandora, my treacle-haired love. Kiss, 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 kiss. Tuesday, January the 27th. Art was dead good today. I painted a lonely boy standing on a bridge. The boy had just lost his first love to his ex-best friend. The ex-best friend was struggling in the torrential river. The boy was watching his ex-best friend drown. The ex-best friend looked a bit like Nigel. The boy looked a bit like me. Ms. Fossington Gore said my picture had depth. So did the river. Ha, ha, ha. Wednesday, January the 28th. Last quarter. I woke up with a bit of a cold this morning. I asked my mother for a note to excuse me from games. She said she refused to namby-pamby me a day longer. How would she like to run about on a muddy field in the freezing drizzle, dressed only in PE shorts and a singlet? When I was in the school sports day three-legged race last year, she came to watch me, and she had her fur coat on, and she put a blanket round her legs, and it was only June. Anyway, my mother is sorry now. We had rugger, and my PE stuff was so full of mud that it has clogged up the drain hose on the washing machine. The vet rang up to demand that we come and fetch the dog back from his surgery. It has been there 9 days. My father says it will have to stay there until he gets paid tomorrow. The vet only takes cash, and my father hasn't got any. Pandora, why? Thursday, January the 29th. The stupid dog is back. I am not taking it for a walk until its hair grows back on its shaved paws. My father looked pale when he came home from the vet's. He kept saying, "It's money down the drain." And he said that from now on the dog can only be fed on leftovers from his plate. This means the dog will soon starve. Friday, January the 30th. That filthy commie, Bert Baxter, has phoned the school to complain that I left the hedge clippers out in the rain. He claims that they have gone all rusty. He wants compensation. I told Mr. Scruton, the headmaster, that they were already rusty, but I could tell he didn't believe me. He gave me a lecture on how hard it was for old people to make ends meet. He has ordered me to go to Bert Baxter's and clean and sharpen the hedge clippers. I wanted to tell the headmaster all about horrible Bert Baxter, but there is something about Mr. Scruton that makes my mind go blank. I think it's the way his eyes pop out when he's in a temper. On the way to Bert Baxter's, I saw my mother and Mr. Lucas coming out of a betting shop together. I waved and shouted, but I don't think they could have seen me. I'm glad Mr. Lucas is feeling better. Bert Baxter didn't answer the door. Perhaps he is dead. Pandora, you're still on my mind, baby. Saturday, January the 31st. It is nearly February, and I have got nobody to send a Valentine's Day card to. Sunday, February the 1st. Fourth after Epiphany. There was a lot of shouting downstairs late last night. The kitchen waste bin was knocked over, and the back door kept being slammed. I wish my parents would be a bit more thoughtful. I have been through an emotional time and I need my sleep. Still, I don't expect them to understand what it is like being in love. They have been married for 14 and a half years. Went to Bert Baxter's this afternoon, but thank God he has gone to Skegness with the Evergreens. Sabre looked out of the living room window. I gave him the V sign. I hope he doesn't remember. Monday, February the 2nd. Presentation. Mrs. Lucas is back. I saw her pulling trees and bushes out of the earth and putting them in the back of a van. Then she put all the gardening tools in and drove off. The van had Women's Refuge painted on the side. Mr. Lucas came over to our house to talk to my mother. I went down to say hello to him, but he was too upset to notice me. I asked my mother if she would get home early from work tonight. I'm fed up with waiting for my tea. She didn't. Nigel got thrown out of school dinners today for swearing at the toad in the hole. He said it was all bleeding hole and no toad. I think Mrs. Leach was quite right to throw him out. After all, the first years were present. We third years must set an example. Pandora has got up a petition to protest about the toad in the hole. I will not sign it. It was Good Samaritans today, so I was forced to go round to Bert Baxter's. I have missed the algebra test. Ha, ha, ha. Bert gave me a stick of broken Skegness rock and said he was sorry he rang the school to complain about the hedge clippers. He said he was lonely and wanted to hear a human voice. If I was the loneliest person in the world, I wouldn't phone up our school. I would ring the speaking clock. that talks to you every 10 seconds. Tuesday, February the 3rd. My mother has not done any proper housework for days now. All she does is go to work, comfort Mr. Lucas, and read and smoke. The big end has gone on my father's car. I had to show him where to catch a bus into town. A man of 40 not knowing where the bus stop is. My father looked such a scruff bag that I was ashamed to be seen with him. I was glad when the bus came. I shouted through the window that he couldn't sit downstairs and smoke, but he just waved and lit up a cigarette. There is a £50 fine for doing that. If I was in charge of the buses, I would fine smokers £1,000 and make them eat 20 woodbines. My mother is reading The Female Eunuch by Germaine Greer. My mother says it is the sort of book that changes your life. It hasn't changed mine, but I only glance through it. It is full of dirty words. Wednesday, February the 4th. New moon. I had my first wet dream. So my mother was right about the female eunuch. It has changed my life. The spot has got smaller. Thursday, February the 5th. My mother has bought some of those overalls that painters and decorators wear. You can see her knickers through them. I hope she doesn't wear them in the street. She is having her ears pierced tomorrow. I think she is turning into a spendthrift. Nigel's mother is a spendthrift. They are always getting letters about having their electricity cut off, and all because Nigel's mother buys a pair of high heels every week. I would like to know where the family allowance goes. By rights, it should be mine. I will ask my mother tomorrow. Friday, February the 6th. The Queen's Accession, 1952. It is lousy having a working mother. She rushes in with big bags of shopping, cooks the tea, then rushes around tarting herself up. But she is still not doing any tidying up before comforting Mr. Lucas. There has been a slice of bacon between the cooker and the fridge for 3 days, to my knowledge. I asked her about my family allowance today. She laughed and said she used it for buying gin and cigarettes. If the social services hear about it, she will get done. Saturday, February the 7th. My mother and father have been shouting at each other non-stop for hours. It started because of the bacon down the side of the fridge and carried on into how much my father's car is costing to repair. I went up to my room and put my ABBA records on. My father had the nerve to crash my door open and ask me to turn the volume down. I did. When he got downstairs, I turned it up again. Nobody cooked any dinner, so I went to the Chinese chip shop and bought a carton of chips and a sachet of soy sauce. I sat in the bus shelter and ate them, then walked about feeling sad. Came home, fed dog, read a bit of Female Eunuch, felt a bit funny, went to sleep. Sunday, February the 8th, 5th after Epiphany. My father came into my bedroom this morning. He said he wanted a chat. He looked at my Kevin Keegan scrapbook, screwed the knob of my wardrobe door back on with his Swiss Army knife and asked me about school. Then he said he was sorry about yesterday and the shouting. He said my mother and him are going through a bad patch. He asked me if I had anything to say. I said he owed me 32 pence for the Chinese chips and soy sauce. He gave me a pound, so I made a profit of 68 pence. Monday, February the 9th. There was a removal lorry outside Mr. Lucas's house this morning. Mrs. Lucas and some other women were carrying furniture from the house and stacking it on the pavement. Mr. Lucas was looking out from his bedroom window. He looked a bit frightened. Mrs. Lucas was laughing and pointing up to Mr. Lucas, and all the other women started laughing and singing, "Why was he born so beautiful?" My mother phoned Mr. Lucas up and asked him if he was all right. Mr. Lucas said he wasn't going to work today because he had to guard the stereo and records from his wife. My father helped Mrs. Lucas put the gas stove in the removal van. Then he and my mother walked to the bus stop together. I walked behind them because my mother was wearing long, dangly earrings and my father's trouser turn-ups had come down. They started to quarrel about something, so I crossed over the road and went to school the long way round. Bert Baxter was okay today. He told me about the First World War. He said his life was saved by a Bible he always carried in his breast pocket. He showed me the Bible. It was printed in 1956. I think Bert is going a bit senile. Pandora, the memory of you is a constant torment. Tuesday, February the 10th. Mr. Lucas is staying with us until he gets some new furniture. My father has gone to Matlock to try to sell electric storage heaters to a big hotel. Our gas boiler has packed in. It is freezing cold. Wednesday, February the 11th, first quarter. My father rang up from Matlock to say he has lost his Barclay card and can't get home tonight, so Mr. Lucas and my mother were up all night trying to mend the boiler. I went down at 10 o'clock to see if I could help, but the kitchen door was jammed. Mr. Lucas said he couldn't open it just at that moment because he was at a crucial stage with the boiler and my mother was helping him and she had her hands full. Thursday, February the 12th, Lincoln's birthday. I found my mother dyeing her hair in the bathroom tonight. This has come as a complete shock to me. For 13¾ years, I have thought I had a mother with red hair. Now I find out that it is really light brown. My mother asked me not to tell my father. What a state their marriage must be in. I wonder if my father knows that she wears a padded bra. She doesn't hang them on the line to dry, but I have seen them shoved down the side of the airing cupboard. I wonder what other secrets my mother has got. Friday, February the 13th. It was an unlucky day for me, all right. Pandora doesn't sit next to me in geography anymore. Barry Kent does. He kept copying my work and blowing bubblegum in my ears. I told Miss Elf, but she is scared of Barry Kent as well, so she didn't say anything to him. Pandora looked luscious today. She was wearing a split skirt which showed her legs. She has got a scab on one of her knees. She was wearing Nigel's football scarf round her wrist, but Miss Elf saw it and told her to take it off. Miss Elf is not scared of Pandora. I have sent her a Valentine's Day card. Pandora, not Miss Elf. Saturday, February the 14th, St. Valentine's Day. I only got one Valentine's Day card. It was in my mother's handwriting, so it doesn't count. My mother had a massive card delivered. It was so big that a GPO van had to bring it to the door. She went all red when she opened the envelope and saw the card. It was dead good. There was a big satin elephant holding a bunch of plastic flowers in its trunk and a bubble coming out of its mouth saying, "Hi, honey bun, I ain't never gonna forget you." There was no name written inside, just drawings of hearts with Pauline written inside them. My father's card was very small and had a bunch of purple flowers on the front. My father had written on the inside, "Let's try again." Here is the poem I wrote inside Pandora's card. Pandora, I adore ye. I implore ye. Don't ignore me. I wrote it left-handed so that she wouldn't know it was from me. Sunday, February the 15th. Septuagesima. Mr. Lucas moved back to his empty house last night. I expect he got fed up with all the rowing over the elephant Valentine's Day card. I told my father that my mother can't help it if a man secretly admires her. My father gave a nasty laugh and said, "You've got a lot to learn, son." I cleared off to my grandma's at dinner time. She cooked me a proper Sunday dinner with gravy and individual Yorkshire puddings. She is never too busy to make real custard either. I took the dog with me and we all went for a walk in the afternoon to settle our dinners. My grandma hasn't spoken to my mother since the row about the cardigans. Grandma says she won't set foot in that house again. Grandma asked me if I believed in life after death. I said I didn't, and Grandma told me that she had joined the spiritualist church and has heard my granddad talking about his rhubarb. My granddad has been dead for 4 years. She is going on Wednesday night to try to get in touch with him again, and she wants me to go with her. She says I have got an aura around me. The dog choked on a chicken bone, but we held it upside down and banged it hard, and the bone fell out. I've left the dog at Grandma's to recover from its ordeal. Looked up Septuagesima in my pocket dictionary. It didn't have it. We'll look in the school dictionary tomorrow. Lay awake for ages, thinking about God, life and death and Pandora. Monday, February the 16th. Washington's birthday observance. A letter from the BBC. A white oblong envelope with BBC in red fat letters. My name and address on the front. Could it be that they wanted my poems? Alas, no. But a letter from a bloke called John Tidyman. Here is what he wrote. Dear Adrian Mole, thank you for the poems which you sent to the BBC and which somehow landed up on my desk. I read them with interest, and taking into account your tender years, I must confess that they do show some promise. However, they are not of sufficient quality for us to consider including them in any of our current poetry programmes. Have you thought of offering them to your school magazine or to your local parish magazine, if you have one? If in future you wish to submit any of your work to the BBC, may I suggest you get it typed out and retain also a copy for yourself? The BBC does not normally consider submissions in handwritten manuscript form, and despite the neatness of presentation, I did have some difficulty in making out all of the words, particularly at the end of one poem entitled The Tap, where there was a rather nasty blotch which had caused the ink to run. A tea stain or a tear stain? A case of your tap runneth over? Since you wish to follow a literary career, I suggest you will need to develop a thick skin in order to accept many of the inevitable future rejections you may receive with good grace and the minimum of personal pain. With my best wishes to you for future literary efforts, and above all, good luck. Yours sincerely, John Tidyman. P.S. I enclose a poem by a certain John Knoll which appeared in this week's Times Literary Supplement. Is he a relation? It is very good. My mother and father were really impressed. I kept getting it out and reading it at school. I was hoping one of the teachers would ask to read it, but none of them did. Bert Baxter read it while I was doing his rotten washing up. He said they were all a load of drug addicts at the BBC. His brother-in-law's uncle once lived next door to a tea lady at Broadcasting House, so Bert knows all about the BBC. Pandora got 17 Valentine's Day cards. Nigel got 7. Even Barry Kent, whom everybody hates, got 3. I just smiled when everybody asked me how many I got. Anyway, I bet I'm the only person in the school to get a letter from the BBC. Tuesday, February the 17th. Barry Kent said he would do me over unless I gave him 25p every day. I told him that he was wasting his time demanding money with menaces from me. I never have any spare money. My mother puts my pocket money straight into my building society account and gives me 15p a day for a Mars bar. Barry Kent said I would have to give him my dinner money. I told him that my father pays it by cheque since it went up to 60p a day. But Barry Kent hit me in the ghoulies and walked off saying there's more where that came from. I have put my name down for a paper round. Wednesday, February the 18th. Full moon. Woke up with a pain in my ghoulies. Told my mother. She wanted to look, but I didn't want her to, so she said I would have to soldier on. She wouldn't give me a note excusing me from games, so I had to stumble around in the mud again. Barry Kent trod on my head in the scrum. Mr. Jones saw him and sent him off for an early shower. I wish I could have a non-painful illness so I could be excused games. Something like a weak heart would be all right. Fetch the dog from Grandma's. She has given it a shampoo and set. It smells like the perfume counter in Woolworths. I went to the spiritualist meeting with my grandma. It was full of dead old people. One madman stood up and said he had a radio inside his head which told him what to do. Nobody took any notice of him, so he sat down again. A woman called Alice Tonks started grunting and rolling her eyes about and talking to somebody called Arthur Mayfield, but my granddad kept quiet. My grandma was a bit sad, so when we got home I made her a cup of Horlicks. She gave me 50p and I walked home with the dog. Started reading Animal Farm by George Orwell. I think I might like to be a vet when I grow up. Thursday, February the 19th. Prince Andrew born, 1960. It's all right for Prince Andrew. He is protected by bodyguards. He doesn't have Barry Kent nicking money off him. 50 pence gone just like that. I wish I knew karate. I would chop Barry Kent in his windpipe. It is quiet at home. My parents are not speaking to each other. Friday, February the 20th. Barry Kent told Miss Elf to get stuffed in geography today, so she sent him to Mr. Scruton to be punished. I hope he gets 50 lashes. I am going to make friends with Craig Thomas. He is one of the biggest third years. I bought him a Mars bar in break today. I pretended I felt sick and didn't feel like eating it myself. He said, "Ta, Moley." That is the first time he has spoken to me. If I play my cards right, I could be in his gang. Then Barry Kent wouldn't dare touch me again. My mother is reading another sex book. It is called The Second Sex by a frog writer called Simone de Beauvoir. She left it on the coffee table in the living room where anybody could have seen it, even my grandma. Saturday, February the 21st. Had a dead good dream that Sabre was brutally savaging Barry Kent. Mr. Scruton and Miss Elf were watching. Pandora was there. She was wearing her split skirt. She put her arms round me and said, "I am of the second sex." Then I woke up to find I had had my second WD. I have put my pyjamas in the washing machine so my mother doesn't find out. Had a good look at my face in the bathroom mirror today. I have got 5 spots as well as the one on my chin. I have got a few hairs on my lip. It looks as if I shall have to start shaving soon. Went to the garage with my father. He expected to get the car back today, but it still isn't ready. All the bits are on the workbench. My father's eyes filled up with tears. I was ashamed of him. We walked to Sainsbury's. My father bought tins of salmon, crab and shrimps, and a Black Forest cake, and some dead yucky white cheese covered in grape pips. My mother was dead mad at him when we got home because he had forgotten the bread, butter and toilet paper. She says he can't be trusted to go on his own again. My father cheered up a bit. Sunday, February the 22nd. Sexagesima. My father has gone fishing with the dog. Mr. Lucas came for dinner and stayed for tea. He ate 3 slices of the Black Forest cake. We played Monopoly. Mr. Lucas was banker. My mother kept going into jail. I won because I was the only one concentrating properly. My father came in the front door and Mr. Lucas went out of the back door. My father said he had been looking forward to the Black Forest cake all day. There was none left. My father said he had not had a bite to eat or a bite on his fishing line all day. My mother gave him grape pip cheese on Rye King for his supper. He threw it at the wall and said he wasn't a blanking mouse, he was a blanking man, and my mother said it was a long time since he had done any blanking. I was sent out of the room then. It is a terrible thing to hear your own mother swearing. I blame it on all those books she has been reading. She hasn't ironed my school uniform yet. I hope she remembers. I let the dog sleep in my room tonight. It doesn't like quarrelling. Monday, February the 23rd. Got a letter from Mr. Cherry, the newsagent, to say I can start a paper round tomorrow. Worse luck. Bert Baxter is worried about